is that he is a God who is fully, fully righteous. He is a fully righteous God. In other words, don't ever question his essence. He is pure righteousness. He is pure truth. Pure anything that is ultimately just and right and justice, God is. There's never any injustice with him. He never makes a mistake. Everything is right on time, all the time, never late, and never too quick. Pure righteousness. John chapter 17, verse 25. Go there with me. I'm telling you, man, this is great. John, where do you get all that stuff from? It's in your Bibles. It's right there, John 17, 25. And I believe that Jesus says this. It's ascribed by the very words of Jesus himself. He says, O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I've known thee, and these have known thee, thou didst send me. Jesus says of his heavenly Father, you are the righteous Father. Now let's go back to that incident. God causes something to happen in our lives. We don't like what's going on in our lives. And the first thing that we do is, oh, I'm being tested by the devil. No, you ain't being tested by the devil. The Lord allowed that. Praise him. Oh, no, a righteous God would never let that take place. What did you say? He will not only allow that to take place, but he will make it take place and make you, listen, he will make you bow your knee. He will make you bow it in this life, church. You get me. Some of you sitting up there running from me, I would never bow. He will make you bow your knee to prove that he is righteous. He will do it. He will do it. And you're going to try to keep going on, and he's going to make you bow that knee. And then he says, oh, okay, play me off. Go to Acts chapter 17. Back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, you're going to look at verse 31. And as you look at verse 31, we're going to see that there is coming a day when the world is going to be judged by this very righteous God. For it says in verse 31 of Acts 17, because he, that is God, has fixed the day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, and we know who that man is. That man is Jesus. He's going to judge the world in his righteousness. He's not going to judge the world by your modus operandi. He's not going to judge you by your frame of reference. He's not going to judge you by, well, I'm a minority and I'm poor and they've subjected their power to me, so God, you need to have mercy on me because I'm just a poor minority person. You know what he's going to, I'm going to judge you in righteousness, fool, not by the color of your skin. And then if you're not a minority, if you're a majority person, well, hard, don't be so hard. We were in charge and now they've multiplied and now they got equal employment and I can't even find a job and that's why I did it, because they outnumber us. God is going to say, wait a minute, Anglo, I'm judging you in righteousness. That old skin game thing don't work. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said that there was a time when God once winked at this ignorance of men, but now he commands everywhere, every man to repent. God is saying, I've had it up to here with you people. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Here's one that we don't like to handle. As a matter of fact, whenever I do broadcast communications, they don't like verses 17 and 18 of Romans chapter 1, because in these verses, the gospel is the means of righteousness that we live by. Well, look what it says in verse 16, if you will. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that is the good news. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now, the implication is that the ones that don't believe it, there's no power in their lives. And then he says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that's all inclusive. We can all be saved. And then he says, for in it, in what? In the gospel. In it is the righteousness of God is revealed. In other words, if there is no proclamation of the good news, there is no righteousness of God revealed, how can our families come together? How do wives know that they're to submit to their husbands? How do the men know that they're supposed to work and to sweat and to provide for the family to the day they die? How do couples know that once they get married, they're to never divorce? I don't care. You know where you get that? You get that by submitting to a righteous God. But a world that will not submit to a righteous God brings up an excuse why they can do anything they want to do, and then what they do is like An old famous man that was in the movies that died, and he called himself a Jew, but when he was dying, he says, you know, I've always been a Baptist because he wanted to go to heaven. And my friends, you can't use God that way. You can't use him that way. You know, you lived a life of debauchery your entire adult life, and now you're dying of cancer, and you're going to say, let a Baptist preacher come and do my funeral because I want to go to heaven. No one gets to heaven like that, friends. Trust me. Hell is that person's eternal home. Romans chapter 9, verse 14. Y'all think I'm picking on people? No, I'm not. The Word of God has already picked on them and condemned them to hell. That is a gospel. Romans chapter 9, verse 14, the text implies that God is pure justice, pure truth, pure equity. Romans 9 and 14 says, what shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. There's no injustice with him. So whenever you think he's giving you a bad time, whenever your children rebel and run away from home, whenever your husband sees another woman and says, look, honey, I just don't love you no more. I mean, I'm just tired of you. God knows. Oh, no. God knows what's going on. He's all righteous. He wants you to live righteously. Whenever somebody looks in your face and says, it's all over, never was true. God is saying, I'm righteous, I'm just, I'm equity, I haven't moved. Come to me, I'll help you. That's him. But he's not going to remove you from this planet. He's going to leave you in the planet. Listen, I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, you better know this about human beings. Since they're humans, they're susceptible to change. And they will change on you like the weather. Out of sync when you least think. They will be as close as they can to you as your buddies, and in the next breath, detest your life. God has said, I'm pure righteousness. I'm pure justice, pure truth. I'll never change. I'm immutable. I love you. Come to me and bow the knee. No, we won't do that. We see God like we see men. Since our situation changed, we think that God has changed. God says, I can't change. I can't move from where I am. We don't know who God is. And then we start moaning and groaning and whining and crying. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Just one page over. The results of not accepting a righteous God. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Romans chapter 10. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. In other words, the result of you not giving yourself over to a righteous God is that you are going to become reprobate. And some people do that. They say, I will not accept that as righteousness. Listen, that is why it's so very difficult for the heathen to become a believer. Because they will not subject themselves to a righteous God. And that's what he's called us to do. All right, let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. All the way over near the end of your Bible. 1 John, that's the books right before Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to glance at verse 1. When all of us fall short of his mark, God is telling us that we have a righteous advocate, a go-between to help us out. This is what the Word says. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, this is beautiful here. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and then he mentions his characteristic, the righteous. See, my friends, whenever there's something troubling you in your life, you have an advocate, and he is a righteous advocate, and he never makes a mistake. And all he's saying is, why don't you bow the knee to me? And I'm going to tell you why we won't do it. There's something in us. Listen, and it's in me too. There's something in us, and it's called our egotistical pride. No, I don't have to bow the knee to Christ. I am in charge. My friends, if you do not let him take charge, you're going to spend the rest of your Christian experience, if you're saved at all, going in circles. Bow the knee to him. If we who love him will give him his rightful place as a righteous judge, our lives will indicate a life wholly given over to righteous living and righteous acts. Since he is our righteous Father, then our lives become righteous lives, righteous acts, righteous way to live. Let's come down to the sixth and last point. That He, that is God, is a God of mercy.